You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire.
Cyber risks and cyber talks at the G20 summit. China may be looking to the Russian model in the near abroad as it thinks about its next steps in the South China Sea, the current state of Russian-American relations in cyberspace, the risks of shared cryptographic keys, an Android Trojan evolves, industry notes, contracts, patches, acquisitions, and lawsuits, and you want extra bacon with that? Trust us, you don't. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Wednesday, September 7th, 2016. The G20 summit, which concluded Monday in Hangzhou, the first time the session has been held in China, saw foreseeable fears that those attending the summit would be the target of cyber espionage. This has been par for the course at G20 sessions in recent years. Policymakers and others attending were warned to expect a variety of hacks and other intelligence prospecting. Warnings focused on Chinese intelligence and security services, and given point by the current atmosphere of great and regional power competition over territorial rights in the South China Sea. That particular competition has had a cyber dimension that's widely expected to increase. The Hague ruled against China's claims in July, and China's rivals for control over the South China Sea, primarily Vietnam and the Philippines, have experienced cyber espionage widely attributed to Chinese intelligence services. Observers think that Russian hybrid warfare in the near abroad, particularly against Ukraine, may provide Chinese security service with an attractive template for action in the matter of the South China Sea. Hacking and the construction of artificial islands would seem consistent with that assessment. China is also widely suspected of having been responsible for the OPM breach discovered and disclosed last year. The U.S. Congress has just released the results of its long inquiry into the compromise that affected tens of millions of Americans who held or applied for security clearances. It's highly critical of the way the Office of Personnel Management handled and secured the personal data it collected and held. We'll hear more about this breach in upcoming podcasts. If concerns with respect to China have mostly to do with regional territorial claims and industrial espionage, the principal concern in the U.S. with respect to Russia currently involves fears of election hacking. circumstantial evidence of Russian involvement in recent compromises of U.S. political sites, has induced U.S. officials at the meetings to seek a firmer line with Russia over cyber conflict and cyber norms. Russian involvement in U.S. elections could take the form of a direct attempt to hack paperless balloting systems, but that's less certain than the information campaign Moscow is generally regarded as operating, the goal of which appears to be casting doubt on the legitimacy of U.S. elections and the U.S. political system as a whole. Those operations are believed to have had so far at least three known components. First, intrusion into election databases, which demonstrate vulnerability even though the content of such databases is widely and often legitimately available. Second, high-profile hacking of political party and campaign organizations, initially quiet, then late this spring, noisy. And the shadow broker's sock puppetry that purports to have exposed Equation Group attack code. There may be a fourth incident, possible compromise of former Secretary of State Clinton's private email server during her tenure in office. House Minority Leader Pelosi has called upon Republicans to stop exploiting alleged Russian cyber capers involving Democratic campaigns. The FBI released its findings last Friday. This morning, at the Intelligence and National Security Summit in Washington, Director of National Intelligence James Clapper declined to comment on these incidents on the grounds that they're being investigated by the FBI. He did, however, say that he foresaw increased cyber activity by adversaries that include Russia, China, and transnational actors like ISIS and ISIS's successor groups. We'll have more notes on the Intelligence and National Security Summit later this week. SEC Consult warned last year that too many embedded devices were sharing cryptographic keys. The situation apparently hasn't improved, and concerns about those devices' vulnerability to man-in-the-middle attacks continues to rise. We'll hear shortly from John Liesebauer from our partners at Quintessence Labs, who tell us all about cryptographic and key management standards. Kaspersky warns that an evolved version of the Googie Trojan is now able to bypass Android 6 defenses against phishing and ransomware. Most people agree that cyber attacks are coming in faster and more frequently. We spoke with Gabby Nisri from Ayehu, where they specialize in automation that they say can help combat the increasing velocity of incoming threats.
It's not only any more firewalls and antivirus and endpoint detections. It's now protecting against internal users and protecting by, you know, protecting people and protecting machines from people, actually.
Describe to me, where are some of the areas where automation can really make a difference?
So, you know, automation is a game changer. The moment you add automation to the game, you are able to reuse, you are able to repeat, and you don't have to do it all over again manually. You can test whatever you build. Once you test it, you can go then and implement that. So for example, you can take automation into the world of data enrichment, incident enrichment, collecting data, investigation, forensic work, and so on. And it can take all the long process from the moment you have an incident until you are kind of able to analyze what's going on, kind of cut it by 90%. So take only this part of data investigation and forensics, and basically you can squeeze it into minutes and even sometimes seconds. It's a huge advantage to have that because you can actually respond quite faster and to contain and maybe even to remediate the incident before it's impact the entire business.
And why do you think that so many people are afraid of automation?
Fear of not being able to control the process. Fear of what will happen if the machine will do something instead of us. And again, it's just about education, and it's just about people to trust automation. We know that most of the attacks and most of the hacks that are being now today these days are being, you know, done by machines. So the war, it's against machine, it's not against real hackers that sits on the other side of whatever the planet is where he sits, and he, the guy, is actually in real time now doing some stuff. It's machine against machine. kind of beat the machine, you have to be on the other side using machines. So I think it's a process that people will start to see how machines evolve in their day-to-day. And again, in IT, I believe it's already mature market. I wish security could learn from IT what they have achieved so far with automation. So it's not only tools, it's processes and knowledge and content that these guys need in order to be able to fulfill their responsibilities on the cybersecurity risks.
That's Gabby Nisri. He's CEO at Ayehu. In industry news, Google has issued patches for the recently discovered QuadRouter vulnerabilities. iOvation has acquired authentication shop LaunchKey, and the Department of Homeland Security has selected Imperva's SecureSphere web application firewall and SecureSphere database firewall for inclusion in its blanket purchase agreement for continuous diagnostics and mitigation tools, continuous monitoring as a service. And in less pleasant news, well-known intelligence unicorn Palantir is said to be suing one of its early investors. The allegation is IP theft. Finally, you want extra bacon with your router? Trust us, you don't. It appears that Cisco ASA devices were among the more prominent targets threatened by the extra bacon exploit leaked by the shadow brokers. Too many of those devices are said to remain unpatched for comfort. Cisco did promptly develop and push a patch after the exploit leaked. So as always, keep your patches up to date and hold the bacon.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zero-trust-AI.
And I'm joined once again by John Liesebauer. He's the CTO at Quintessence Labs. John, I know you wanted to share some information with our listeners about the standards when it comes to cryptographic and key management. What do we need to know about that?
Common standards help enable interoperability. You know, it's important, though, that the standards we use are properly defined, unambiguous, and vendor independent. There are standards for almost every technical field. For cryptography and key management, there are standards from organizations such as the IETF, OASIS, OSI, the IEEE, NIST, ANSI, the payment card industry, and plenty of others. There's no problem finding a standard in the cyber security world. Two of the more important interoperability-focused standards, though, for cryptography and key management would be PKSys 11, which is Public Key Cryptography Standard Number 11, and KMIP, or KMIP, the Key Management Interoperability Protocol. Both of these standards are currently managed by OASIS, the Organization for the Advancement of Structured Information.
And so digging into those, I mean, how do we deal with them, and what part do they play in cryptography and security?
PKSys 11 is a standard for cryptographic application programming interface. It defines a vendor-independent API performing cryptographic operations such as encryption and digital signatures and also key generation. PKSys 11 turned 25 this year, so it's quite an old standard. It was originally managed by RSA as an industry standard that moved to OASIS just over 3 years ago. P11 is widely used in cryptographic products, from smart cards to hardware security modules and database encryption to web servers. Similar standards to PKSys 11 would be Microsoft CMG, or CAPI in the old days, the OpenSSL API, and the Java JCE interface. In fact, both OpenSSL and JCE support cryptographic providers that present a PKSys 11 interface. The other standard I mentioned, KMIP, specifies a protocol for the exchange of key management messages between key management clients and servers. It specifies operations such as create, register, and get for objects like symmetric keys, key pairs, and certificates. It's a relatively new standard. It was first published in 2010.
All right, interesting stuff. John Liesebauer, thanks for joining us.
Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR, and only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. Demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit CriticalStart.com and request a demo today. That's CriticalStart.com. And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. Today's episode is sponsored by SRM, your first call for cybersecurity and investigations. Threats today are evolving faster than ever before, and since 2005, SRM has pioneered tailored security solutions for global corporations and their executives. Whether it's defending against cyber attacks with their award-winning team of ethical hackers and incident response specialists, or navigating the murky waters of compliance and ESG challenges, SRM's insight and straightforward advice will help you navigate complex risks and emerge more resilient. Their secret? A culture that nurtures the sharpest minds, giving them access to the newest technologies and the freedom to solve problems in new ways, enabling them to craft simple, effective solutions for your unique cyber challenges. Search Your First Call to discover how SRM can help your business.